Hey, 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 good morning, Fargo. Welcome to Talk of the Town with John Adams. Let's start off with a week of review. You know, so I don't know if you guys, well, I don't know how many of you guys follow me on Facebook, but I wanted to talk about the fact that, there are a number of things I want to talk about. First, though, I want to talk about the fact that we have a young man across the river who went to Morehead State University and is making, according to all reports, he's making good down in Atlanta. And, you know, I got to say, in our world today, this young man has been, he's been a ray of light, so to speak, because he was the quarterback over at Morehead State University. And I don't want to call him a phenom, but he's an anomaly as far as I'm concerned. And the reason I say that is here's a kid who could have taken the money and ran away from his MSU teammates and the program. You know, he's currently in Atlanta. I imagine doing a rookie camp or at least a undrafted free agent camp. But I got to see part of an interview that Mr. McCarty did. And I wanted to talk about, you know, I try to talk about positivity, and we're going to have a little conversation about this whole political thing, by the way, because the next debate is tonight. But anyway, I was just thinking, you know, I want to highlight this kid because it's so unique to see a young person have his priorities in order. So, James, it's pretty neat to meet a guy like that, and he's humble, and he's, you know, I mean, he's got the world at his fingertips right now, so it's really neat to see.
Yeah, it's just a great young man. Everything that I have to say about Jack is incredibly positive, but he overcame all the obstacles to become a professional athlete now here at this point as they're beginning OTAs or rookie kind of, you know, rookie right. mini camps and things of those sorts in the coming days. That's not just for Jack, it's for Bryce Lance and Cole Payton and all those guys as well, but Jack went from a small town in Wisconsin of less than 4,000 people, Bloomer, Wisconsin, where right. they ran the wing tee offense.
Jeez.
You know, they was smash
no
mouth football.
Passing in the wing tee.
Yeah, smash mouth football, small town, you know, kind of that west central Wisconsin type high school ball. And he ends up at a camp, and the Dragons just see the size that he has, the way that he threw the football that they thought they could help mold. And they offered him a scholarship. Very few schools showed much interest at all, and the Dragons taking their chance on a quarterback out of Bloomer, Wisconsin. He comes to Morehead. His freshman year, there ends up being an unfortunate injury in the quarterback room, you know, I believe third week of the year, if I remember correctly, at Augustana. He ends up stepping in, plays pretty well, gets a start the next week, then he starts lighting the world on fire, and before you know it, this dude becomes a four-year starter in this air raid Division II offense at Minnesota State Morehead. Opportunities to leave, he says thank you, but no thank you. I have my people here in Morehead, a great coaching staff, tremendous teammates, a community that he just didn't think that he needed to change up at all, and now he finds himself as an undrafted free agent signing a contract with the Atlanta Falcons, a little bit of guarantees involved in it, and he has a chance to, whether it's a practice squad, whether it's an active roster, whether it's the emergency third quarterback, have a chance to start building up a professional resume now here in the coming months.
Well, you look at it, you got guys like Easton Stick, who's been in the league since he graduated. I think he was Atlanta last year, but you know, it's funny because you typically hear these superstars, but these undrafted free agents, you know, these guys that get a shot, you know, I don't know how much money Easton Stick made when he was with the Chargers, but it's the opportunity. I mean, there's only so many people that get to play professional sports, and what is it, 2,800 in the NFL, something like that? And so to see these guys come you can't call it small town FCS because – it's now big-time FBS, but anyway, oh, my gosh. I'm thinking about the Bison. Holy cow. It's even – I said that backwards. They're not coming out of FBS or FCS, but to see them come out of Division II, that in itself is also amazing. So, you know, there are some people that say Morehead State should win more, you know. We should be at the top of the division every year, but if you look behind the scenes at what they have to work with, They're basically doing it with smoke and mirrors, but there are a lot of changes that are coming. But I just wanted to highlight Jack Strand before I got into what I call, before I get into what I would call is a pretty exciting mayoral race for the city of Fargo. Have you been following this much, James?
I don't have a lot of intel on it. I know across our family of stations, our different show hosts, they have their interviews and horses in the race for it, but I'm not super educated on it. I know Dr. Tim Mahoney is not back in the running, and I, from my understanding, right?
Mahoney?
Oh, yeah, he's retiring though after, right?
Yeah. 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 Oh yeah. No, no. Yeah. He's done.
So, yeah, he's not in the runnings for re-election. That's Oof. About the extent of my knowledge.
Oh yeah. Then okay. You're not paying attention at all, and probably
I'm a Moorhead resident because, though too, as part of it.
Well, and there it is, right? But it, you know, it's interesting because I'm trying to remain non-biased, except for. It's hard for me because I've been here since 1985. So I've got to see where the way the city's evolved and all this, and I've got to see how the city functions. And, of course, the last 4 years, it's been amazing how many things that I've seen in regards more than I want to know about local government. But there are a lot of issues to be tackled. And I'm excited for this second debate because I've heard, okay, so everybody's got talking points, you know? I've heard tough on crime, and as I went through prepping for this show, crime is down in Fargo. The numbers are actually down in Fargo, but a talking point is tough on crime in this election race. And I'm giggling because for me, I want my candidates to talk about the stuff that's important to me, okay? The things that really matter. And more than that, and I'm going to say this, I think it's very, 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 very important that we pay attention because words matter, you know? And I've heard from people that have been in the system, meaning some of these candidates say, I don't know. And I don't know about you, but that bothers me. If you've been in office for more than a year, I don't know shouldn't be something that I think you should be saying on issues that have been in front of the general public for a long time. Like specials, I hear this. Oh, you know, we're gonna figure out a way to deal with specials. If you've been in office for more than a year, and you know that this has been a core issue, I hope that I see somebody step up and say what exactly their proposal is. Now, the city commission is notorious for having doing their research, you know. One of the things is should we wait to hire a police chief before the next election? Okay? And so looking at this issue for me, it's like this. All reports are the interim chief is locked in. Okay? And he has support from other law enforcement agencies. In other words, he's getting some glowing reports. So I understand process, but I also understand that culture matters. And the previous police chief, his culture was such that there was a certain amount of divisiveness where things didn't get done, and there wasn't a working relationship, and you lost some good officers. We've seen officers end up in Moorhead, and the working relationship with the city seemed strained a lot. So it's like, you know, culture matters. And so if we have somebody who's local, I would expect our leaders to say, you know what, this is a no-brainer, you know? I mean, you know, you have a process in place, yes, but at the same time, there are things that this guy is going to have to do to hit the ground running. Now, what I read was there were four candidates, three dropped out, except for the guy from Fargo. And so I don't know if they dropped. I don't know how it went out. But anyway, it went from 4-1. So, I mean, if we put it out there, why not get this done? Just one of the things I hope that they ask. I believe the debate is tonight. So I hope they ask that question, because that's something that I want to know. Secondly, I don't want to hear about how there's a whole lot of crime, because honestly, we know that there's a certain amount of crime, that the things that happen were because of the migration from the oil boom to Fargo, and some of those people sticking and staying, unfortunately, not all of them, on the up and up. So I'm excited because, you know, by the way, for those of you that are waiting for Michelle Turnberg to come on, she won't be coming on. Last week, Friday, she texted me and said she had a campaign obligation. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. I wish that 2 weeks ago when we booked it, she had done a better job. But anyway, but also Dave Pepcorn said he was going to be on the show. He begged off. And I think maybe it's because they're prepping for the election, for this next debate. But that's why it's me talking instead of you getting to hear from some of the candidates. I'm hoping to get Jeff. And by the way, it's Jeff Boshe, not Jeff Boshi, which I had been saying. So first of all, I want to apologize about that. But this show, I want to talk about the fact that I'm excited because there's a lot of stuff that needs to be taken care of. And our local government should look different after this election. You know, and there are some people on the that are running for commission that I'm endorsing, not wholeheartedly, but I think that they have a chance to do a good job. So we have a first break coming up, but when I get back, I'm going to run down, first of all, some of the issues that are stated by our leaders, by our candidates, as well as my perspective on, hey, listen, is it something that you want to hear about? So if you have comments on people that are running for mayor or the city commission, call in. I want to hear your thoughts on it. This is John Adams for Talk of the Town. If you want to call in, this phone number is 701-293-9000. Ooh, that almost has a 70s vibe to it. It's almost like Shaft. But anyway, hey, welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I was just sitting here going over some of my notes and I thought to myself, you know, back when I was growing up, politicians had slogans, you know? That was always fun. I don't know how old you are, James, but, you know, I can remember just every campaign button had a slogan on it, you know? But anyway, along with that comes what I call buzzwords or political speak. So one of the things that I want to highlight is that I noticed that there are candidates coming out saying that I want to be fiscally responsible, okay? Fiscally responsible, what exactly does that mean? Because you either spend or you don't spend, right? Secondly, it's what you spend money on, you know, what you approve. Those are the things that when I look at this, I want to hear how people are going to use my tax dollars, okay? And so along with that comes a little bit of common sense. So the city of Fargo, we voted on a 3% sales tax, or I don't want to get into the particulars, but we know that there was a vote and we're going to raise money for this convention center. Now, going back and looking at the wording of the way this whole convention center thing came about, it was approval to use some of our tax dollars so that this thing gets done, right? And I've heard plenty of ideas about where it should go, and I have my own opinion on that, but what scares me is that we're not hearing the big picture, okay? And the big picture is who's going to be left with this monstrosity, you know? I mean, where it goes is vital to the whole thing, but, you know, we already feel like we're being overtaxed between specials, between all the little things, and now with the economy being where it is and gas being where it is and everything costing more, it feels like we're just taxed unbelievably. So I want to know how are people going to spend the money that we have, okay? Now, we hear that Fargo is growing and it's developing and all of this. Well, if it grew 10%, then shouldn't there be money, even if we didn't add any new services, if our community is growing? Shouldn't that mean that the tax revenue is growing by that? Maybe it's a false equivalency, but these are the things I want to know. I want to hear the candidates themselves roll something out, okay? Now, up to now, the one person that I can say that sounds like he's about that life, so to speak, is Mr. Beauchesne, because he gave very specific reasons of why he thinks he could run the city. And the fact that he managed a budget of $2 million at one point says a lot, okay? And evidently he had done a good job at it, otherwise he wouldn't have mentioned it. But these are the things that I want to hear, and you should want to hear too, because I'll tell you what, this is a pivotal time. You know, I said this last week, it's a pivotal time in Fargo. It's a pivotal time in the United States. And so I think, first of all, I think it's important that we get it right. And part of that getting it right is, do you know that I think only 20% of the registered voters in Fargo voted? I think that's the first problem, is that everybody's got something to say about it, but are you getting out and exercising your right to vote? You know, I mean, that's how things happen. I was talking to a friend of mine. He says, yeah, I'm not, you know, it doesn't matter. It does matter. We can see it on the national stage, and it's funny because I've shifted my position on who's responsible for the mess that we have in the White House. And I'm no longer blaming the red hats. I'm blaming the people that didn't get out and vote, that didn't vote for the one of the other candidates, because it was a very slim margin that the dude won by. And it's like, at what point is everybody going to take responsibility for what our political climate looks like? You know, if you don't like what's happening now, but you didn't vote against what could possibly happen, then you're as complicit as the people who said this is a great guy. So for me, we need to start exercising. You know, people think that life can't change. You know, that we're kind of stuck in the United States where we're at, but there are enough voting people in here that we can get back to electing better people for office. And believe it or not, it starts at the local level. And so I think people need to get out and really look at who's running and why. This is all my opinion, of course, my show. But one of the key things I want people to look at, and my dad used to tell me this. He said, you know, don't look at what people say. Look at what they do over and over again. And he says, when they show you who they are, believe that. Okay? And so for me, I'm looking at how did we get to $1.3 billion? Dave Pepcorn says almost $2 billion, which is scary that if you think about it, I've heard 1.3 for a long time now. And just yesterday, I was looking at Dave Pepcorn's interview, and he said, no, it's closer to $2 billion. That scared me. It scared me because somebody's going to have to shoulder that burden, you know? And as we have an aging population, if we're not doing things to fix what's happening to keep our young people here, guess what? We're in the hurt bag. So anyway, I got off track a little bit. But I want to hear how we're going to deal with that deficit issue. I shouldn't say that budget issue. But what I was saying is I want you to listen, but also look at people's track record, you know? But the big thing is, and probably the number one thing I think, is I want to hear our candidates talk about themselves, okay? And what I mean by that is they talk about their ideas. Anybody who's going to point across the stage and talk about what somebody else did is not standing on their own merit. You know, I always want to know, what are you going to do? What's your plans? I'm not fond of saying, but this is kind of the way I taught my sons is, you know, if you have a problem or you have a gripe, bring a solution. You know, it's very easy to talk about it, and these candidates will talk about it, but are they solution-based, and do those solutions make sense? You know, you can tell me you're going to cut taxes, but you're one person. Is a Dave Kolpak or Sirleaf, are they going to be able to work within the city commission? You know, that's something that needs to be asked. Now, there's another issue that's in the background that I think we need to cover, and that is the question of ward systems. And so, you know, there was one candidate that was no way. But if you think about it, the ward system, and you have to do your homework, if we really want representation from every part of the city, it makes sense. So when you hear this issue come up, it's a representation thing. Now, it's important that we do our homework here, you know? I mean, I got a lot of people telling me, oh, well, this person is a great person. Well, you know what? I want somebody that can lead, somebody that can get in there and do what's required to be done, because the mayor's office is now a full-time position, okay? I want there to be so much transparency that I don't ever wonder, well, why did they do this? Why did they do that? As somebody who keeps up with local politics. So, you know, these are things that we have to ask ourselves, okay, what are we looking for the people, from the people that we elect? What is the number one thing? So if you have an idea of what's important to the city of Fargo and what do you want to see in terms of this debate coming up on Thursday? It's actually a WDAY. So we're up against the break. Big Game James says we're up against the break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the upcoming election. Hey, welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I'm here talking about what I would like to see come out of tomorrow's debate. Now I want to switch to the candidates because they've been all over the local news. They've gone on radio. They've done all these different things. And so I kind of gathered some talking points from each candidate. And I just wanted to run through some of the things that you're going to hear and possibly things that might be important to key in on. So I'm going to start with Denise Kolpak. Now it's funny because, I said I'm not voting for anybody that held elected office in this past election cycle. And I have to tell you that Denise is she changed my mind a little bit because some of the things that she said, it resonated with me, which you're allowed to change your mind. But it's interesting because she wants to focus on responsible budgeting, okay? And that her institutional knowledge of how to get that done as well as being in the system is one of her strengths, okay? And she's leaning on her time on the city commission, okay, is one thing that she can point to. And she talks about she wants growth, but with caution, you know? That's actually a quote. So continuity and stability. One of the things that struck me was Denise talked about how Fargo is running smoothly. You know, the city is doing what we need to do, the whole nine. And for me, there are five pressure points here that would suggest that it's anything but running smoothly. But, you know, it's perception versus reality. Again, I've heard people talk about the last police chief was soft on crime, yet crime numbers are down. I mean, it's a measurable. You know, there are some things that when you look at, they're measurable. Well, the crime, it says that crime is down in Fargo. Okay? But there are candidates that want you to believe that public safety is an issue. Now, we don't know because we have We have a new police chief that's going to come in pretty soon. But is there a disconnect between statistics and what's actually happening? And so the question is perception. You know, we talk about downtown a lot, and the perception is, you know, downtown is violent and all this, but the crime statistics don't necessarily bear that out. And it's funny because one of the issues was, a direct quote, that we're soft on crime because people could shoplift and nothing would happen to them. And it's like, how does that happen? If you know as a city commissioner that this is indeed happening, isn't it your responsibility to correct that? There are people that are running for office that have said these very things, but yet not necessarily following through that way. Michelle Turnberg, it's interesting because Michelle has been in on the commission for a little over a year, and so she questions the city's spending priorities, okay? And I like that idea. We should be questioning that. Wants better handling of homelessness. All of the, look for answers that are vague because that tells you what a person really knows or doesn't know. But the big thing is, I hear, let's get back to core values of what government really is. Well, as a taxpayer, I want my government to look out for people that that are less than, that have, not are less than, but have less. Okay? Because we know if we don't support those people, they become a burden on society. Okay? And I hear people using drugs in as an excuse for homelessness. And I've said it before. I know people that worked great jobs and that were displaced from their jobs during COVID. And it was hard to find work, and they sought social assistance. But yet, whenever you hear about homelessness, a person's either got to have mental issues, they've got to be on drugs, they've got to have family issues. Yeah, that is part of it. But, you know, there are many people that are getting up going to work that are homeless that need help. And so it's like, all right, if you're talking about core issues, but you're not talking about taking care of citizens that need our help, then what are we doing? And you could say, well, there are nonprofits, okay? Yeah, well, you know, nonprofits rely a lot on federal dollars, okay, grants and such. And when that need isn't met, then I think there is a natural thought process that at some point, either our commission needs to find federal dollars to help these or put something in place that makes sense. And so this homeless piece, it's not going away, you know? It's not going away as we grow and we become even more economically viable. You're going to have this. But it's the way in which we deal with things, you know? I find it amazing that we have a law in the books that says no camping, okay? Is that a way to soften the word homelessness, camping? I don't think anybody who's homeless is thinks that they're out camping. It's their life. But it's little things. I believe I was on Dave Pepcorn. So he also, it's interesting, he says, well, I want to be careful about government overreach. Buzzwords, people. We get these buzzwords, and we got people saying things, but what does it actually mean? Saying a lot without saying anything is become an art form. Now, I have to tell you, if I had to vote for anybody right now, Jeff Boshi is a front runner. Number one, because of experience. I've seen enough where I'm like, hey, look, we need somebody that understands. And all of these candidates have been in contact with the government in one form or another. But it also speaks to the extent, okay, meaning their involvement. Were they broad-based? Did they work across different departments and different lines? Boshi has that pedigree. He wants long-term financing, financial planning. I thought we did that anyway. You know, don't give it to me like, oh, this is something we should try. Don't we do that right now? So I think we need to make sure that we're doing it better. And, you know, everybody on this list is about pro-growth, you know, meaning driving the economy. I want to hear how they're going to get this thing done. You know, let's have some concrete answers. The first election, I understand you the first debate, you're getting it out there, you know what your policy is. But I want answers. And you should want answers, too, because the election's a month away. And if these people that want to run the city don't have a clear mind on these top issues, because it's going to be in the details, folks, if they can't provide you something detailed that you can go, that makes sense. Or I hear people throwing forth plans, but there's also the aspect of you have to work with other commissioners. And remember, in a commission system, the mayor is just one vote in the commission system. For all intents and purposes, he's part of the city commission. Okay? So if they all have one vote, then there has to be alliances. There have to be people have to see things the right way in order to get enough votes to get things passed. The second thing is, what are people bringing to the city commission? You know, do they have integrity? Based on their past record, does it look like somebody that you can trust? Now, the beautiful thing is we can go through and I could tell you I spent about 2 hours on the internet just Googling and whatnot. And there's a ton of information out there about these candidates. And it's important that we get this right, you know, economically and socially. There are candidates in this race that are not acknowledging the social aspect of the city structure. Okay? That's very telling. Okay? Now, one of the things I didn't want to talk about today, and it popped into my head, but do we have a good old boys network? And if we do, what does it look like? You know, who's benefiting? Because I can tell you, I haven't even gotten to the tax incentive thing because I'm saving that for the last hour. But we have one more candidate, and that's Sekou Sirleaf. And he's interesting because out of all the candidates, he seems the most genuine. And what I mean by that is he just comes off as a likable guy. Okay? But we also have to look at what he's saying. Okay? And it's funny because his main thing is rethinking systems, the way that we do things. And just that statement, it speaks to understanding the undercurrent of how things get done. Government is the system, and we need to rethink how we allocate resources. That was a real big point of his. So I don't have a whole lot on Sekou other than the fact that he was part of the Human Rights Commission, but I can tell you this. When I look at this guy, I see somebody that he appears trustworthy. He appears like somebody, his dog in the fight is the betterment of the Fargo-Moorhead community, and he's talked about that. But I want to hear his community development plan. I want to hear specifics on the law enforcement issue. Okay? So those are the five candidates. It's a situation where you've got to make an informed decision. I would encourage you ahead of the debate to go on the Googleator and figure out what's the best possible way to go with this thing and how to vote. James, we're up against the break. I think I heard you in my ear. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up this hour. We're going to talk a little more about voting as well as getting people out to vote. This is John Adams with Talk of the Town. If you want to call in, the phone number is 701-293-9000. Hey, welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I just got a few closing remarks, as it were. We got a short time. We got about 4 minutes left, but I want to talk about some key lines that we have to look for during this next debate. And there are a couple of pressure points. And so, you know, one is how do you fund expanded services without increasing the tax burden? You know, we all want these services. I want to hear how somebody's going to provide services, but also not have it be an even bigger burden than it already is, you know? What policies would they want to see outcome changes right away. Okay? In other words, what is your priority list of what you're going to do? You know? How do you bring other commissioners in? How do you work with other commissioners to get the best result for the people for the city of Fargo? Okay? Over the years, I've seen quite a bit of infighting with the city commission, and it always tickles me because if you're doing the work of the people, a lot of it is common sense. Okay? So, key debate issues, you know, debt versus growth, you know? Are we spending too much and not investing enough? How do we get that fine balance of where we need to be so that, number one, we're getting our debt handled? By the way, there was a candidate that spoke on that debt and how it's good debt. Okay? I want to hear more about good debt. I want this person to actually flesh out and tell me so that I can understand it, as well as if the city was running so well, why did Moody's downgrade the city? Okay? That was something that was said. Oh, the city's doing fine. Well, all I know is if I get a downgrade on my credit rating, I'm not doing so well. So I think it would hold serve for the city. So public growth versus debt, public safety, you know, do we need better enforcement or better systems? You know, homelessness, are people compassionate to homeless as well as healthcare issues? You know, I didn't get in the need issue. I didn't get into the tax issue. I apologize. And then the last thing is, what's the leadership style? You know, I hear people saying they will work with people, but they've actually been in office and have stalemated a lot of issues, you know, or not voted on a lot of issues, but yet they say they're willing to work. So, you know, if you have people that have been in the government, look at their track record. Look at their history and what they've done. Because whatever they've done in the past, I can assure you they're going to do in the future. And lastly, if you're not out voting, you're definitely part of the problem. Okay? Whether you're left, right, center, you know, neutral, Switzerland, whatever, you should get out and vote. Every vote makes a difference. And by the way, I'm fond of saying, if you're not out voting, then whatever happens, happens. You should probably keep your mouth shut. But either way, this is a pivotal time in Fargo. You know, the political climate, the economic climate, there's a lot of things on the plate of the next people that are going to run our city. And so we have to be informed. I hope this gave you some information and helped you make an informed decision when it comes to election day. With that, you guys, assess it looks like the weather's going to get a little worse. I'm going to buckle down. My wife is homesick. I'm going to go see how she's doing. But, hey, listen, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week. Next week, we're going to start our Salute to Women, which is a month-long salute to women doing great things in the community. This is John Adams for Talk of the Town. You guys have a great week. And as always, stay black.